করে।
So we left off last week. We were discussing Shitas HaTosfos, and then Rishon will follow Tosfos' lead as to why Chazal were Mesachim B'Digas Chometz. After all, we know that the Deraisa B'Bitta B'Yal Mesachim in the Torah, one could presumably solve all of the Bayrove Matzei problems by simply being Melach of the Chometz. Why the necessity of B'Digas Chometz? So unlike Rashi and the Ran of 2 weeks ago, we took the approach that although technically speaking, if you do bittul properly, there's nothing to be concerned with in terms of Arav Matzei, we're not so convinced everyone's going to do bittul properly. As we all know, just because rules are promulgated doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be followed. So yes, there's a din with the rice of bittul v'yamasai, but metachlis, people may not be mevatable in shalom, the Ran said, or maybe people change their minds later with the Bartanur said, but that's Rashi. So Rashi's whole approach to the requirement of Bedika was to safeguard by Rav Matzei. But Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says no, that there's no need to safeguard by Rav Matzei. Bittul is going to be sufficient. Everyone's going to do Bittul properly. What we're concerned, says Tosfos, is a totally different issue. The issue is Shem Yevel Yochel. You may come to eat the chametz. That's a huge concern. Is this a karis? So then Tosfos tries to fine tune that gezeira of Shem Yevel Yochel by highlighting that unlike chametz, where we do find such a gezeira, and many, many other areas of halacha, we don't find such a gezeira. We don't find it by basar b'chalav. We don't find it by orla. We don't find it by kiryat karam. So manish manish tana chametz and madri surim. So Tosfos developed a whole theory, almost like a psychological theory, that people don't stay away from chametz. People think I eat pizza all year long, I eat pretzels, I eat cookies all year long. Comes the week of Pesach, somewhat not as ingrained in a person's psyche, like eating chazal, like eating basmati. You're never going to fall and eat a cheeseburger. You may fall and make a mistake and eat chametz and pesach. That was Tosfos' entire theory. So everything is hinging upon the fact that chametz is that iser, that's lo b'dil minei, and everything else on the supposed list of potential gezeira, which was ultimately rejected, is in fact b'dili. And of course, one of the things that was on Tosfos' list of areas where we don't make a gezeira is bas b'chalav. Tosfos says bas b'chalav, the cheeseburger, there's no such requirement when you move into a house to go on your hands and knees and behind the refrigerator into the closets and looking for all those cheeseburgers that are left over by the non-Jew. No such thing. Never heard of such a thing. And the reason being is because the cheeseburger, if you see a cheeseburger, you're going to recall, you're going to run away a mile a minute away from the cheeseburger, because people have that mindset, bas b'chalav, that's terrible, that's straight. And therefore, there's no concern of Lobaduman. So Tosfos' entire theory to compare and contrast, in a sense, the slice of pizza and pig, the cheeseburger the rest of the year, is predicated on the assumption that people take cheeseburgers very seriously. People get very, very nervous about Bas B'Challah. People are very frightened off of Bas B'Challah. And therefore, there's no need for such a gezeira. So it's that point of Tosfos that is highly questionable. And this is going to take us a little bit back to last year. Those were with us back in the Chulin days. A little bit of chazar to some of the things that we spoke about last year, and now we're trying to almost bridge the gap between the concern or lack thereof of bas b'chalav in contrast to chametz and pesach. So again, according to Tosfos, everything is hinging upon that distinction. Chametz is lo b'dil minei, bas b'chalav is very much b'dil minei. So let's take a look at the seventh of the Marmikamos. It's a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim Daf Ayin Vav Amin Aleph. Amar Rav. Besar shchuta shamein shetzolo and besar nevel kochush osur. If a person has a piece of kosher meat, shechted meat, shamein, it's good and fatty and juicy, and for our purposes, it's giving off a really, really strong aroma. It's roasting simultaneously with besar nevel kochush, with a very shvach, a very weak, a very lean piece of non kosher meat. What's the issue? Obviously, if the two pieces of meat are touching one another, this would be a non-starter. That's called ta'am to ikur. I think we spelled well, whether it's real ta'am to meat or not would be another question. But there would definitely be belials, there would definitely be absorption, there would definitely be giving off of taste. That's not even a discussion. Here the Gemara is discussing, there's no giving off of taste of the emission of reyach. There may be smell and aroma that's been given from one to another. So Rav says that's a problem. that the fact that the two pieces of meat are in close proximity to one another, even though they're not literally touching, so there's no actual tam that's transferring, but there's a reach that's transferring. And Rav says that reach is such a problem, even though one could argue that maybe reach is only a problem if the piece of meat is really juicy and really a geschmack piece of meat. And here, the besan avel is kochuch, the besan avel is very weak. Rav said, it's still a problem, my time up. Mefatme mehadodi, because since the kosher meat is fat and juicy, so it's giving off a little bit of its aroma to the treif meat. Now the treif meat is turning around and giving back some of that aroma back to the kosher meat. There's a whole bilbul of reichos that are going on inside this oven, and that poses a problem, according to Rav. So basically, this is Rav's famous sheet called Reicha Milsahi. Rav reckons with the reich the same way that the halacha takes it into consideration tam, so the halacha also takes into consideration reich. Reich and tam, reich, the two go interchangeably. I think we've learned in the world of corona symptoms that smell and taste are very, very much related to one another. So with halacha, according to Rav, that is the case as well. But Levi Amar, Levi said no. Even the opposite, even the other way around. Even if the treif for meat is a fatty meat, and there are more reasons to believe that you have a problem, mutar, everything's okay. You know why, my taima? Reicha bi'amu v'reicha lab milsi. Levi undermines Rav's entire position. Levi says the whole thing is not true. Reach, that's not a concern. Tam is a concern. When there's literally meat touching one another, that's a problem. The fact that there's smell, there's aroma, transferring from one to another, lamal of lamur, that doesn't pose a problem. So it's with this background, the Machlekes Rav and Levi, that the Gemara continues and quotes the following braisa. Tani Rav Kahana b'reidi Rav Chinna Saba. Pasha afa im tzli b'tanur, asal ochla b'kuscha. What would the din be if you have a loaf of bread that's being baked in an oven simultaneously with meat that's roasting in that oven? Now again, nothing's touching. It would be touching, it would be a no-brainer that the bread would become fleshy bread. The question becomes, but the mere spread of smell, the mere spread of an aroma, does that automatically not trave up the bread, but does it at least make the bread into a fleshy bread? So the Braisa says yes. The bread now becomes fleshics, and also the Ochel B'Kuscha. You're not permitted to eat that bread together with a cheese, together with a yogurt dip, together with any kind of milchik food. Hai Benisa, the Itfa Bahadi Bisra. A similar story happened once. There was a fish that was roasting in the oven at the same time with meat. Asra Rav Parzikya Mechla B'Kuscha. Leaving out the fish and meat, the health issue. It's a different part of the sugya, so enough for now. The Gemara says there was a piece of meat and a piece of fish that were roasting near one another. Again, there was no tab, they weren't touching one another. Abba Bichain, Rav Mi Parzikya said, you're not allowed to eat that fish together with milk. Basically, he's treating it as fleshy fish, so to speak. So here, the Gemara is very, very strange from a stylistic point of view. The Gemara presented a machlekes Rav and Levi, and then the Gemara quotes a braisa, and doesn't say clearly whether this braisa is a machriya, whether this braisa is a proof positive that the halacha is concerned with reach. So some rishonim said, yeah, that's what the Gemara meant. But the reason why the Gemara quoted the braisa was to tell me that these stories prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that reicha very much is milsa, and therefore we have to follow Rav's view. And just as the bread becomes fleshik and the fish becomes fleshik, so the kosher meat becomes treif in effect. So the original Machlekes Rav and Levi was about kosher and treif. The Brice happens to be talking about milchiks and afleshiks and parva, but it's the same basic principle, either reich is mils or reich not mils. That's what many Rishonim say. But the Ran takes a different approach. So the eighth of the Rambam comes. The Yod. The Evshad the Masnisa the Rav Kahana, the Uda the Benisa, a few lady Modibu. Says the Ran, it wouldn't appear from the text of the Gemara that the Gemara is actually proving or disproving any of the opinions before based on this braisa. It would appear this braisa and the story about the fish, a fetal Levi motive, even Levi, who's the biggest makel in reich, the one who argues that reich basically doesn't exist, there's no concern of reich, even he would be concerned. Yeah, why? Mishum dekeven chireich habosa nirgash behen hatomos on ye savor shemamashashal ibosa nivu behem. Says the Ran, there's a difference in terms of metzias. When you have two pieces of meat that are roasting together, It's not a recha nirgosh. It's not a discernible aroma, because quite frankly, the meat tastes the same. I got a kosher steak and a trefil steak, and they're sitting 10 feet away from each other in the oven, and they're spreading reich to one another, but nobody knows that. When I sit down and eat the kosher steak, I can't taste the trefil steak. It's the same taste. It's a quote from Les, it's min bimino. It's the same kind of a food, the same tasting food. But over here, when it comes to the bread and the meat, bread and meat don't taste the same. And when I sit down and eat that challah roll, I can taste a little bit. I can smell a little bit, whatever you want to call it. There's a little bit of a discerning here. There's a little bit of a fleishik here. There's something here. The chiyachalu b'kuzcha, the Ran says in the second line, if we're going to let the fellow eat this fleishik smelling bread, mischazik of asmacholov, that's going to give off the impression of asmacholov. It's going to be a very, very slippery slope. We've already learned last year. Asmacholov is a very, very slippery slope. The minute that we allow shalom b'derech bishul, then we're going to allow b'derech bishul. The minute that we allow chicken, we're going to end up allowing meat. And one's going to lead to another. So Chazal really, really clamped down hard on bas b'cholov. And the Ran says the reason why we're so concerned about bas b'cholov, even though fundamentally we're not that worried with reich, and that's so simple. We're not worried with reich when the reich is not discernible. When the reich is discernible, that's a problem. But Mishumachi also, and therefore the fleshing bread is a problem to eat with milchings. Because there is no ability to discern the taste or the smell, one or the other. So far the Ran has not committed that Bas B'cholov is halachically different than other areas of halacha. The Ran is just simply telling us that the Metzius is different. But it's the Ode, it's the second approach of the Ran that's going to potentially cause problems for us. So the Ode. It could be that there's a halachic concern here that exists by bas b'chol above and beyond regular isurim. Those are not the words that we wanted to see in our sugya. Bas b'chol argues that Ran, people don't stay away from bas b'chol as well as they should. People don't take bas b'chol as seriously as they should. People may fall into violent bas b'cholov faster than the violent other isurim. Why? When you see a hamburger, you don't run away. When you see a slice of cheese, you don't run away. Because I can eat hamburgers and I can eat cheese. Every once in a while they get mixed together, but I shouldn't be eating that. But somehow that psyche doesn't repulse me. When I see chazer, I see a lobster, I run the other way. Gemara says that when a person sees tray for food, the right thing to do is to say, like, Efshi v'Efshi, I would love to eat this. A lot of geshmak, it's such a yitz. I'd love to, but the Rosh Hashanah said not to. I've tried many, many times. You go to ShopRite, the non-Jewish markets, and you pass the seafood section, and you see the lobsters rolling around in there. I would love to make that statement, but I cannot say that I have a tremendous taiva. I don't know. Maybe a good piece of chazer, perhaps, but the lobster just doesn't speak to me. So comes around and says that a Jew is repulsed by trefa food. He runs the other way by trefa food. Bas b'chol, no one's running anywhere. Bas b'chol is a hetter for the atzma, hetter for the atzma. And therefore, Chazal have to offset that concern. And therefore, Chazal have to institute all kind of isurim in the rabbani. And none of this is their isa. None of this is their official. But with the Rabbanan, we have to declare the bread to be fleshy bread because psychologically people are not as careful as they should be with bas b'cholov. And then the Ran says, and I'll bring you a proof to this. Throw back to last year. One of the last things that we learned last year was the first mission of the eighth parak of Chulin tells us that with the Rabbanan, not only you're not allowed to eat bas b'cholov, that's their isa, it's their bishul. You're not even allowed to have it at the same table at the same time. If I'm eating a hot dog and you're eating a pizza, that's a problem. Unless we make a hekeh, we set things up to remind us, oh, I got no sugi that we spend time in the year, on the end of the year. I say last year. It's hard to say last year because this year and last year merged into one heftzah, one unit. But before we opened up a Gemara Pesachim, so we spent time earlier in the summer discussing that issa d'rabbanan of halal al shulchan echad. So comes around and says, that issa d'rabbanan of halal al shulchan echad, we never, ever, ever heard, says the Ran, that there should be a problem if the non-Jew is eating his lobster, then I can't have my tuna fish sandwich. I never heard that if the non-Jew is eating his chazer, I can't have my my piece of cake. Never heard of such a thing. The Issa Dirabonin of Halal Shulchan Echad was only instituted vis-a-vis Bas Bechol, never by Shari Surin. Shivacham Aviki Chamala Shulchan, Malal of Yainasach Shari Surin. We never heard of such a thing. The guy can be drinking his tray for wine, he can be eating his tray for chaz, a sandwich. Never heard of such a problem. Why is it? The answer is very simple. We are not afraid that I'm going to fall in and to eat the chazer, but we are concerned. I'm in the middle of having my hamburger. I may take a bite out of the other fellow's pizza. So therefore, the Ran says basa b'cholov is unique in halacha based on the psyche of a Jew, and therefore it falls into the category of lo b'dili b'nei. Hilkach the pasha fun matzli nami gozerbo ho b'yesherech basa shel ochu b'kutsa b'labishun reichem milsa. So when all the dust settles, says the Ran, do we paskin reichem milsa? We happen to paskin like levi reichem milsa, and therefore if you have kosher meat and trace meat and roasting together, says the Ran, no problem. I didn't say that. That's how I followed this round. That's the round's conclusion. Reichalav Milson. But don't ask me any questions for Basa B'cholav. Basa B'cholav, we have to raise the ante a little bit. We have to be more concerned with Basa B'cholav. We have to be more machmir than we have the other Isurim. Tafka, because Basa B'cholav falls into that category of lo bedila minei. And a riot to that, says the Ran, is the fact that the Issa b'dirabban of Halal Shulchan Echad doesn't apply to anything else short of Basa B'cholav. Of course, this Ran now poses a problem for Bedikas Chametz. Because if the Ran goes to Ikmos Tosos, which the Ran tries to do, the Ran in the Aleph is very, very, tries to make everybody happy. The Ran first gives the whole Shema Torah to explain Rashi. Then he explains Tosos. The Ran says, I'm not Machriya. I'm 100 years after Rashi. I'm not here to be Machriya, whose Pshan Bedikas Chametz is right. But I'm going to explain the Sugya Bein LeRashi Bein LeTosos. So the Ran wants to explain to us why there could possibly be a gezeira of Shem Yovel Yochlom, and why that gezeira is limited only to chametz and not to other things. But wait a second, one of those other things is Bas B'cholav. So Tosus went on record in that base and saying, yeah, chametz is also Shem Yovel Yochlom, Bas B'cholav, don't worry about it. Because what Jew would ever fall in and eat Bas B'cholav? What Jew would ever even think and dream for a million years? What Jew would ever forget that this is a Bas B'cholav? But the Ran can't say that anymore. The Ran of Masechus Chul just developed an entire theory for you that people don't think Bas B'cholav as seriously as they should have. And people are not as concerned, people are not as repulsed by Bas B'cholav. And proof positive, we have to slap you with an issur d'rabban nevreach and slap you with an issur of how long gzeirah to achila. Things that we slap you with in Bas B'cholav that we wouldn't apply to other issurim. So according to the Ran, how will the Ran explain the following phenomena? If Tosus is right, that there's a gezeira d'rabban and shem yovel yochlom b'chametz, why is that gezeira exist by Bas B'cholav? Any and every time I move into a non-Jew's house, I should get on my hands and look for the cheeseburgers. What happened to shem yovel yochlom? You can't hide behind Tosa's distinction of b'dilim b'nei versus lo b'dilim.
Yeah. But you could say that the Ran says we need like a gezeira, but it's not the same level. Like, again, we weren't careful about Bas B'cholav, but not.
Okay, so then it starts to get, you know, to split a little bit, split hairs. You know, once you're willing to put Bas B'cholav into the category of concern, once you're raising the red flag, I don't want to bring a very, very painful marshal for some people now, but I don't know whether we want to call it a yellow light, an orange light, or a red light at this point, but once you're already, you're already worried, even close that, you're already telling me that you have a problem. So now to tell me that, well, yeah, that degree of a problem, and the other guy's a little bit more of a problem, That's already
relevant. Let's say you're buying something, you should owe you. Yeah. And you know most Turkish characters, you should. The one you buy it doesn't have OU. As opposed to on pizza, if you're buying cookies.
Right, man. I mean, it could be almost like a quantitative degree. But again, it's much, much harder to draw that line. So, Baruch Hashem, the Ran does not disappoint us. Because the Ran throws something into the sugya that, in a sense, answers the question. The Ran doesn't even pose this question himself. When you read the Tosim Sachem Daveis, and then you remember the Tosfos, when you read the Ran in Pesach and Beis, and you remember, hey, there's a Ran in Chul and Chlamet Beis, and wait a second, aren't these two Rans contradictory? Oh, then you have to realize, wait a second, what's the answer to that question? So Baruch Hashem for the Ran already answered the question. Without asking the question, you already answered the question for us. You take a look. In the ninth of the Ramah Kamos, V'imata Oimer, Shechoshim Shalom Yavol Yochlo. If you want to say it again, remember, the Ran is diplomatically correct here. He's not taking a stand on Mechayz Rashi and Tezis. He spent the first 2 weeks of Kola Boker explaining to Shitas Rashi. Now the Ran says, and by the way, if you don't want to go down Rashi's route, and you want to follow the view that Pedika is because Shechashu Shloyevel Yachlo, Uchadivi Arishayim, Zal Neiman of Aliatesis. In the time, this is the reason why they were more concerned with Chometz and other things. The Choshim Atzvei Visharisurim. Mishum the Chometz, Lobadili, and Shimine Kulishas. So, first of all, Chometz has that factor to it of Lobadili Mine. But you almost see the question coming. Yeah, but Bas Bechal also has that factor of it's Zehetta Befnei Hatzvel, since each piece is Mutter. That's also Lobadili Mine. That answers it in one line. Bechomeri Surei Tvei de Ispekares. Boom. So Baruch Hashem, Iran says that Chometz has something that Bas Mechalev doesn't have. And that is, not only is it likely to violate Chometz, the ramifications, the consequences of violating Chometz are significantly more serious than Bas Mechalev. And here we don't have to, split hairs in terms of degree of concern. Here the question is, what are the ramifications of a mistake? These are things we all do in life. We do this all the time. We try to assess risks. So we want to figure out. That's the part. That's the sugya. That's what we're all sitting around a mess for. So we're trying to figure out what the risks are. What risks, so to speak, are we willing to take? Depends what the ramifications are. So as Kayadua, we don't have to elaborate upon the marshal. It's obvious. If the greatest risk is catching a cold, highly unlikely that people are going to walk around in masks for 6 months. But if the ramifications are significantly more chomer than that, that's going to cause us to be a lot more careful, rightfully so. That's exactly what the Ron's saying also. If you're dealing with something which is not so bad, I'm not advocating eating Bas Bechol. In case you think I'm advocating that, you forgot we learned Masechet Chulin all your list yet. So we take Bas Bechol seriously. But between me and you, if you fall into Bas Bechol, okay, it's all fine. A lot of the time. Coming to you, it's not a good thing, but not the end of the world. Whereas if a person violates Chometz and Pesach, the stakes are so much higher. The loss, the potential disastrous consequences are so much more severe. Therefore, we're going to take a lot more precautions. That's exactly what the Ram says. Lopadilimine is not enough. It's not just that psychologically, it's going to be harder for people. You have to combine psychology with the degree of consequences, and those two factors together come up with the proper formula, what care and concern you have to take. Again, this is literally the parsha we're holding in your idea. You have to assess what are human psychology, what mistakes people make, how careful or careless people are, and you have to make rules based on that, based on what your best assessment of how people are going to behave. Combine that together with just how serious is an error in this area, and you're going to come up with a potentially very, very chumradic formula, which is, again, rightfully so, under the circumstance. That's exactly what the Ram says. So Chazal assessed the Labadilimine, combined that with the Yisakarix, and came up, boom, with the Orlavos, and making us chumradic, they are there. Masha'in Kain, other Isurim that don't have those two factors. Let's say the Mashal, Chelev is also in Yisakarix. Chelev is also very, very serious. No less of an Isser than a Chometz and Pesach. On the other hand, the psychological, concern, people are going to fall in, they're going to make a mistake. People don't eat Chelev. People see Chelev all year long, they run away from. I mean, we don't ever see Chelev, so we don't know what to run away from. But if you check your own animals and clean your own animals up in your kitchen, you know, Chelev, that we run away from with a 10-foot pole, even though the consequences are very, very serious, but the possibility of error is so, so low. Okay, so we don't take such crazy precautions. There are a lot of crazy things out there. We don't go nuts on that. We don't take every million precautions for every single thing because the statistics are so low that anything's going to happen. So we're more lenient about certain things. So Chelev has the potentially disastrous consequences, but the statistical possibility of that happening is very, very low. On the other hand, Bas Mechalev has a psychological, has a fairly high statistical probability, because people psychologically, argues the Ran, are lobedilimine. However, it doesn't have that significance to it. A lot of people catch the cold. Again, we don't turn the world upside down because of a cold. Because at the end of the day, you get a cold. So you play better 2 days, you feel better. It's only when you have something that, number one, is a high probability. And again, depending on what numbers are. Number two, the ramifications, the consequences are so potentially catastrophic. That's because Chometz. That's exactly what Chazal, when Mesachim, all of us, but it's Chometz. So this Ran that's stuck in the words kares was l'shitasa, because he equated, he was forced to put in kares. If you notice back in Tosfos and Dabez, Tosfos knew that chametz is kares. Tosfos didn't say kares. Tosfos said love and dilim. That's all there is right now, more says Tosfos. Because according to Tosfos, apparently Bas Mecholov is not a love and dilim. Bas Mecholov, nobody. What from Jews can eat a cheeseburger? It's almost like a doctor sticking up like, it's like a psychological question. What is the average Shomatar Mitzvah's aversion to a cheeseburger? Do you say that I run away from a cheeseburger like with a 10-foot pole, like I run away from the lobster? Or do I say no? Since I view it as a piece of pasta, which doesn't repulse me. I view it as a slice of cheese, which doesn't get me sick. And the fact that the two together, I could potentially fall in. So it's very hard. How are you going to measure this? I know this is the job for a Beis, and I've got to listen to those. That's what the Beis Middle did. Part of the job is to make gezeiros. When the Beis and I've got to make gezeiros, so they have to assess so many things. You have to figure out halachically, does it make sense up din to make the gezeira? Does it make sense up mitzias? Is this something that psychologically is going to be a concern? They have to assess whether the people are up to making, to keeping the gezeiros. We're not supposed to make gezeiros if they're not going to be poshut of Israel. People aren't going to be able to keep them. So Beis Nagolov has to know the world of Allah. They have to understand the psychology of people. They have to understand the sociological factors. Are people going to live up to this or not? They have to know the economy. They're going to have similar goals are abundant. You have to know a lot of things. That's what the Beis Nagolov does. That's why we have the 71 Kriyas Tamir Chacham, who are supposed to gather all their insights together and decide when you make a gezeira, when you don't make a gezeira. So I call upon him, everything that we've been working with right now is assuming that chametz is different from other Isurim, primarily because Lo B'Dil Minei combined with Karech going to the Ran, or Lo B'Dil Minei is sufficient or stands on its own 2 feet according to Tosfos. But now, if we go all the way back to the beginning of the Bar Mitzvah, back to the first of the sources, so Tosfos presents an Inami. If to explain to you the fact of Lo B'Dil Minei, now Tosfos says, V'Oidi Shleimer, another approach, taking back to the first of the Bar Mitzvah, it's the second line from the bottom towards the end of the line, Inami, Shani Chametz, Shechmir about Torah, Lava by Rabbi Matzai. Says Tosfos, I'm going to prove to you that chametz is a very, very chomer iser. I'm not going to prove it to you based on the world of psychology that it's likely that a person may forget that it's Pesach and fall and eat the chametz. That was the first part. I'm going to prove it to you from the world of halacha. I'm going to show you certain chumras that chametz has that other yisurim don't have. Bas b'chol of chayil of dam. None of those other yisurim have that. And that is by Rabbi Matzah. The Torah is so strict about chametz that the Torah says that not only can you not eat chametz, you can't even own your chametz. We never heard of that. In the Torah, guy wants to have a piece of chametz in his fridge. That piece of chametz in his fridge. Right, so what's wrong with that? But to have that pizza in your freezer on Pesach, your violation of two isurim every second by Rabbi Matzah. So you see that in the hierarchy of halacha, chametz is more chametz than other isurim. Therefore, Chazal called the Tikkun Rabbanan King, the Raisa Tikkun. Chazal said that since the Torah is Machmir by Rabbi Matzai, that shows it's a very, very serious issur. The consequences are great. Notice, tell us again, didn't say word curse. The word curse doesn't enter into this Tosfos at all. Other Rishon mentioned, doesn't say the word curse. Tosfos says, therefore, Chazal were Machmir to require B'dik and Biur, even though there's no Bairah here. You know what? There's no Bairah? You've evolved one already. The Raisa Bit of Abbasagi. So at the end of the day, Tosfos says, the goal of B'dikas Chametz is not to avoid by Rabbi Matzah. Don't make that mistake. That was Rashi's Shita. We don't follow that. Tosfos. Rashi's grandchildren say no. Bitul Chametz solved the world's problems. Min HaTorah, Min HaRabbanan solved all by Rabbi Matzah problems. But there was a secondary concern, a very, very serious secondary concern called Gezeira Shomer B'Yochlo. And that is going to be addressed by B'dikas Chametz. But the reason why we don't find that Chumud D'Rabbanan even mentioned in other Machos Suros is because it's only reserved for the very, very serious Isurim. And how do you measure, how do you gauge what's a serious Isur? Well, Chometz is pretty serious. Can't get more serious than Chometz. After all, it carries with it by Rabbi Matzah. So we have two different approaches in Tosfos. What is responsible for us being more strict about Chometz than about other things? Is it the psychological fact of delimine versus lo delimine, or is it something in the halachic universe, the notion that chametz has that characteristic of carrying with it by Rav Matzah? So hopefully, Beit Hashem, tomorrow, we're going to go back to the Ran and almost like complete the circle of the sugya and see that this new factor, Tosfos just, which again, according to Tosfos, is not the reason for Bedikah. It's not the reason for Bedikah, but it's part of the picture, part of the background, why we're so machmer to record Bedikah Chometz in the first place. How the Ran's going to weigh in on this. How the Ran takes the words of Tosfos and takes them all to an entirely new level. I'll mention tomorrow. We'll try to finish up the ends of the sugya. Then hopefully I think we should probably be able to get started ready in the next Mamakomos. So they were sent out already. We'll get the next Mamakomos out. We'll try to be to bridge into the next sugya.
Thank you, Rabbi.